It's time for a Tibbetts Talk and welcoming in a familiar face, although you don't get back as often as we'd like to have you back, Brian Sage.
Yeah, I'm back for my first time in 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Brian's still hanging around the state of Michigan. Over the years, you've had a very fun resume here at the Tibbetts.
Yes. I think this is the first summer I'm not in a dress, actually. yet, anyway.
Yeah, that could change as the week goes on.
It could.
But you've been, you know, in on stage behind the scenes as a director,
yep,
right? Summer
yep.
theater before, and actually outside of your life as an actor, you're a teacher as well.
That's right. Yeah, I teach at Eastern Michigan University, acting and introduction to theater, and then this fall I'm picking up a class at my alma mater where I got my master's, Wayne State.
Okay. So how is that from, are you an actor in your classroom?
Yeah, I have to be, kind of, you know, I mean, I have to sell theater to these kids that, you know, most of them, a lot of them have never even stepped foot in a theater. You know, when I ask, how many of you have seen a play? Not very many hands anymore, which is, you know, somewhat discouraging on the first day, but then I kind of have to, you know, I have to sell it to them.
So you're almost a missionary in that standpoint.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Bringing your religion to a foreign land.
Right, yes.
In some cases, so.
Yeah.
So, but what is there an enthusiasm for the kids these days to get into things like, again, some of these are introductory classes, so it's not necessarily what their major is going to be, but everybody seems to be a star now on TV and everything else, that there's so many, quote-unquote, entertainment opportunities for people. Are more kids thinking about that?
I think they are. I mean, you know, I get a lot of kids who come into that beginning acting class that, you know, have watched reality TV for the last 10 years and think that they're going to be, like, the next big thing.
Can I be Snooki?
Yeah, right. But, you know, I would say that a lot of them are actually quite surprised at, you know, just how hard acting is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I thought this was going to be an easy class. Well, surprise.
If you do it right, it looks easy.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
But there's an awful lot behind it.
Right.
So.
And they always want me to act. You know, when are you going to do it? I said, no, this is your class.
Do some Shakespeare for
right,
us.
Yeah.
So, but what hooked you on acting, though?
I wish I knew. Because I did my first play when I was in, like, fifth grade.
Okay.
And we had just moved from one community to another, and I didn't really know anybody, and that was the thing that I latched onto, and it was fun, I think, more than anything. It was an opportunity for me to like get to know new people, and then I kind of went from there and continued to do it. So,
okay.
And now I can't do anything else.
All right. Now you've heard Brian Sage's Therapy on the Couch.
Right.
Let's move on to this show now.
Okay.
Okay. And that's $40, by the way,
for the therapy session.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
good.
The producers, and you can't say the producers without saying Mel Brooks with it.
Right.
Because that adds that in everyone's mind gives it that element of craziness.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, Zero Mostel, who originally played Max Bialystock in the film in the 60s, and then Nathan Lane, who did this version of the show, mm-hmm. and the film of this version of the show, are kind of, you know, they go hand in hand with it as well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it was kind of, because it was a movie first, and then
right.
a play, and mm-hmm. then the movie again.
Right.
Right. And it kind of in that order with it. Do you have like the big greasy hair bangs that hang over your forehead like Zero Mostel did in the movie?
They can't afford greasy hair bangs, and I can't grow them. So I kind of wish I did sometimes.
But no. But those two guys who played it in the movie, in which people will remember most, obviously, and Nathan did it on Broadway too. I mean, those are like bigger than life kind of things. So how do you approach that as an actor? How are you going to pull that off on stage?
Bigger than life?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You've seen me on
stage. Well, that's true. Brian is bigger than life. There you go. That's this week's review.
Oh, bigger than life. Brian Sage. Yeah, I mean, you approach it like anything else, like any other play. I mean, it has to have a certain sense of truth to it, you know? But especially when you look back at the 67 film, we were having this conversation yesterday, a few of the cast members. Zero Mostel made some of the just craziest off-the-wall choices that, you know, no normal human being would really make those choices. So you kind of approach it that way, you know? What's going on with this? This guy's living in his office, you know? He hasn't had a hit for years and years and years and years and years, and he's exploiting little old ladies to get, you know, the money to produce these really terrible shows. So psychologically, something's a little off, you know?
Yeah, it's before they figured out psychotherapy, probably.
Right, yeah.
So, give the 30-second synopsis for people. I guess I kind of jumped into it because I know what the show is about. But give people, from your inside, the 30-second synopsis of the producers.
Okay, so Max Bialystock, down on his luck producer, exploits little old ladies to try and produce his shows. Leo Bloom, an accountant, comes in to do his books and, you know, basically discovers and says out loud at one point that a producer can make more money with a flop than he can with a hit. And of course, this immediately gets Max's wheels turning, and he says, okay, well, we're going to find a flop. We're going to raise $2 million and we're going to put it up on Broadway. And when it fails, we'll take the $2 million and go to Rio.
Okay.
You know, so that's basically, that's the setup. And then the audience watches kind of that progression of them finding the show, finding the director, finding the cast.
Yeah, and unfortunately for them, it doesn't become a flop.
Right. So. I mean, I think probably everybody has heard at some point Springtime for Hitler, which is the title of the show, and that's the show that they end up producing. The thing that they've done with the musical, though, is they've established what's not in the movie is that kind of friendship that blossoms between the two characters. I think you see a little bit more of that in the musical than you do in the film.
A lot of fun and campy songs in this.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a ton of music. I mean, I was really surprised at just how much music there was in it. Mel Brooks wrote it all. Very, very wordy. There's a lot of words to spit out every night. But yeah, a lot of campy music, a lot of fun music.
And kind of for Tibbetts Summer Theater, almost an all-star cast for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great group of people. Tim Fuchs is playing Leo, and Aisling Halpin is Ulla. Chad Talon is Franz Liebkin, the Nazi, and Dick Baker is Roger Debris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's all the stars from the last couple seasons of the big hit shows from Tibbetts are all kind of in this show.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's great fun.
Great chorus, big number, lots of sets.
Lots of sets, lots of dancing. Yeah. Yep, lots of singing. It's a monster. It's a big show, but fun to tackle.
Looking forward to it. Thursday afternoon, and then Thursday night, opening night for Tibbetts Summer Theater, 50th Anniversary Summer Theater, producing the Mel Brooks production of The Producers.
Awesome.
Break a leg, man.
Thank you. Thank you for the therapy session.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's send friends, neighbors. We'll handle this. Ryan Sage, Tibbetts Summer Theater cast with us this morning on a Tibbetts Talk.